Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Motion to adopt.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approval of minutes from November 13th.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public appearances.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I just wanted to make sure that the sidewalks that are going in or plan to be going in on West St. Joseph and Riverside Drive actually connect to the trail. I know that there's a proposal now to go through one of the new proposed developments, and then also the original plan was to connect down to West St. Joseph Street along the diocese property. So I just wanted to make sure that that was done, and then if that would be billed to the, find out if that'd be billed to the TID district or whether to the general revenue fund. Thank you.
Thanks. Removal of West St. Joseph Street on-street parking.
Yeah, I'll bring up an aerial of St. Joseph Street. This summer we reconstructed St. Joseph Street from Riverside Drive to Webster Avenue. The reconstruction project included the construction of bike accommodations and sidewalk on both sides. To avoid acquisition of property, we narrowed the roadway, and we had eliminated parking, with the exception of the on-street parking in front of the old Chapel Hill apartment complex. We have since put up no parking signs, and we need to now go into village ordinance to prohibit parking on the south and north side of St. Joseph Street, with the exception of the on-street parking in front of the apartment complex. We have provided in your packets, we have provided the changes to the ordinance. I can go over that. But if you have it handy, it now reads, it's in red text, St. Joseph Street, north and south, from Riverside Drive east to Webster Avenue, except on the north side from a point approximately 175 feet east of Riverside Drive to a point 300 feet east, the beginning of the curb bump in. And we had, when we reconstructed the roadway, we had built a curb, what I'll call curb bump out, to facilitate that parking. So a motion is needed for a recommendation of the village board to remove on-street parking on St. Joseph Street from Riverside Drive to Webster Avenue, with the exception of the parking at the old Chapel Hill apartment complex.
So this just changes the old ordinance for the old road situation,
right,
to the current plan,
right,
to reflect what we are,
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, the existing conditions had allowed for parking. When we reconstructed the roadway, we added bike accommodations, mm-hmm, along with sidewalk on both sides. And to avoid purchase of right-of-way, we narrowed the roadway, and we eliminated the parking, on-street parking.
I'll make a motion that we recommend to the board to approve this change.
I assume we're going to remove the individual north and south entries here then, and just combine them into one north and south. That'll be the new, just above it there. Or is that different locations?
Different locations.
I've got to read that
east,
further. I'm sorry.
Yep.
That's east. Never mind. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'll second the motion to approve as written.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Amendment to Ordinance 432, Waste Management.
Bring that up.
You wanted me to get my reading in, huh?
Let's see here.
What was our reasoning for that one?
Well, quickly run through the changes real,
yeah,
quick. Under the definition of bulk waste, we had specified the volume of concrete debris that we will pick up, and that's limited to a 5-gallon pail. It's to try to minimize the effort needed to, you know, put the bulk into the truck. If someone puts out a lot of construction debris, it takes a lot of time, a lot of hand work to get that into the bucket and into the truck. So this has been the past practice. We've limited that to a 5-gallon bucket, and we just want to now make the change to the ordinance. This has been our practice.
Okay.
But it wasn't in our code.
So it's stuff they put out for bulk, not what they can put in their trash bin.
Right, yes, yep.
Okay.
So are all of these changes to this just regular maintenance? That policy has come up. There's some things to look at. You went through the whole thing and found everything inconsistent.
Yeah, we did that. We cleaned it up, and then we had made some, you know, with the change to how we dispose of brush, and there were some changes. We need to be a little bit more particular with what is placed, how it's placed. Real quickly, there was a definition added for large metal items. Under major appliances, gas and charcoal grills were added.
The large metal items, that did not fit into a recycling cart.
Exactly.
With the lid closed,
right,
or open?
I think we want that lid closed.
Because you can stick a 10-foot steel beam in a cart.
I think it would, if it doesn't fit and if the lid doesn't close, then... Then that needs to be hauled to the Brown County Transfer Station.
So my recommendation would be saying with the recycling cart with the lid closed.
Okay. Okay. Under recyclable materials, we added metals and brush. Under street right-of-way, we define street right-of-way, and then a sketch will be added to better define street right-of-way, and I'll bring up that sketch. There you go. There's been a lot of confusion of, okay, what is street right-of-way?
Well, and it's different depending on which street you live on.
It does vary. For the most part, our street right-of-way width is 60 feet on average, typically 60 feet. Roadway width is 31 feet from back of curb to back of curb, so that leaves you with a 14 and a half foot boulevard plus or minus on each side. So when somebody goes out, when somebody during a non-collection week puts out brush or bulk, and we go and tag it, and that tag indicates it tells the resident, the homeowner, the property owner to remove whatever from the street right away. They can go into our code. They can look at the definition of street right-of-way. They can look at the sketch. Hopefully know that they have to remove it from their front yard, period. We've run into where somebody may put bulk or brush along the curb, and we tell them to remove it from the street right-of-way. They just move it like 5 feet back. No, we want it, for the most part, we want it out of your front yard.
But someone could move it 15 feet back,
yeah,
typically?
Onto their property, yeah. And at some point, I don't know, it may become a nuisance and fall under a different chapter.
Although usually it's just they've messed up a week and they'll drag it back the next week.
And the right-of-way doesn't change even in wider streets or instances?
Oh, it does.
It does.
Oh, it changes
all over the place.
This is just...
In general?
What we typically see in the village, 60-foot right-of-way.
We have some place where we have next to none.
So if someone had a 5-foot right-of-way and they put something 10 feet off the curb...
We wouldn't take it.
We wouldn't take it.
No.
That just helps them understand.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is what we consider to be the right-of-way,
right,
whether it is or not. at least for those purposes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, in most cases, if they move it 15 feet back behind the curb, they're out of the right of way. So
you guys aren't going to know the right of way at any particular location.
If it's that close, if Mike is out there, and there are indicators out in the field that you can look at, maybe a power pole or a ped box or sidewalk, driveway sidewalk, sometimes may indicate where that right of way line is.
So it's not just from the center of the street. Either way, because that still varies.
The right-of-way width is from lot line to lot line.
Okay.
So there's some instances, like on Wabanar, just have you turn off of Broadview.
Okay.
That, and Wabanar does this funky little turn.
Mm-hmm.
The street is not centered within the right-of-way.
Oh.
So it's way offset. On one side of the road, there's very little right of way, and on the other side, it's way up to the towards the homes. So
I think what you're getting at is if there is a lot of variability depending on your type of street, are we? Since this is hard to.
I think if you know, for the most part, if we go in and place a tag on whatever it might be that is in the roadway. Are right directly behind the back of curb that doesn't belong there.
We'll get the idea.
If they move it 15 feet back,
they're pretty
safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Now how about even if this would be a larger effort, but to just say in the back of curb for these purposes, the area that we allow collection of waste is from the back of curb to 12 feet.
And that's why I'd put typically 14 and a half feet. Yeah. It covers, in general, most cases. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll probably just do what's reasonable when they're out there. If it's up there, they'll take it, and if it's not, they won't. But if something comes up, then we have something to fall back on.
Yeah. Moving on under major appliances. Starting in 2020, the village will no longer accept major appliances at the yardway site, so that's been removed. Under brush, language has been added to address placement of brush during non-collection weeks. Go ahead.
Can we go back to these major appliances? So it says, major appliances. Major appliances are not picked up by the Public Works Department. With the exception of electronics, appliances can be taken to Brown County Solid Waste Transfer Station, meaning electronics are not allowed at Brown County?
Correct. They're not at the transfer station, but they can be brought to the hazardous waste facility off of Broadway.
Or CyberWorks takes
them. Or any licensed recycler.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Large metal items, proper disposal of large metal items has been added. So anything that doesn't fit into your recyclable cart with the lid closed, we don't pick that up during bulk pickup. That needs to be taken to the Brown County Transfer Station or another licensed recycler. Preparation of brush, bulk waste, and yard waste. Additional information has been added to explain how to properly place brush, and we've sent out a flyer. We've had various emails that have gone out to explain how we want that brush placed. We want it away from any structure, piles no larger than 8x6 behind the curb.
And then is brush defined as any woody material? Yard waste is any herbaceous material?
For the most part.
Okay. I had a young kid helping me this year, just so you know, who cut off some, buckhorn. Wasn't even as big as my little finger, and he put some in there. So I'm pulling every one of those out, thinking those are going to be classified as brush. And they still tagged my yard waste. It was yard waste. So I loaded it all in the dump trailer and took it. But there's still, even for those of us who sat on this committee a long time, confusion as to regarding what's yard waste and what's brush. So I would just suggest we put something in there as we send out new flyers next year about woody material as opposed to, I mean, is yard waste
woody
all your herbaceous material?
Woody plant material, stocky plant material is considered brush.
Okay,
currently.
Stocky. So we're
stocky.
Talking...
I don't want a corn stalk, rosebush, bamboo. What was it, the plant that you had?
I've had
buckthorn would be, I would think, right? Is that stocky?
Buckthorn.
The little teeny buckthorn was,
anything.
Yeah. And that was my fault. I should have explained it better, but it's like
and
we should have a really good definition.
Are tree trimmings considered brush?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now those are.
And it may be that in the future that we have to provide a separate definition for stocky plant material because we're currently monitoring the we now haul brush to the farm and we grind it and with too much of that stocky plant material
it can
lower the grade of the grindings to a point where the people that haul it to a boiler.
Oh, yeah.
To wherever to use.
Because I do have 7 foot tall cut plants. They're great for feeding wild birds and they catch water, but they are stocky. So
we'll continue to monitor that and if need be.
We had three definitions prior. We had yard waste, garden waste, and brush. And garden waste is what you're talking about.
And we may go back.
Divided into two definitions.
And it's not included under currently under yard waste because it's difficult to suck up with a leaf sucker truck in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fall, it causes issues with the baler. We're going to hopefully move away from that process. But, yeah, there may be another definition, and it will define what it is, and they'll have to haul it to the airway site.
Yeah. So just as we refine that, as we refine our process and what it
yes,
works
yes,
for,
yep.
Yeah.
I think I made a comment similar a couple of months ago about that when you had the flyer coming out, and then I saw something on the Nextdoor app. There's a big storm of people talking about stuff. Like when they're mentioned separately, or there's like, oh, now it's Yard Waste Week, or it's Brush Collection, I don't think a lot of people get any difference. They're just like,
no.
Oh, I get to put stuff out here.
Yard and, stuff out, yeah. Yep.
And I will do that. And I was thinking in that brochure, if they can almost be like side by side, like, this is called this and happens on these weeks. This is called this and happens these
yeah.
two times of the year. This is what these look like. So they can just see the difference between the two, you know, probably with a picture or something. But.
And we do have, Debbie does a good job of putting out notices with pictures and definitions, and we sent out the flyer. As hard as you work to try to make it seamless,
mm-hmm.
yep.
it's never perfect.
Yeah. No, we've come a long way compared to a couple of years ago. It was just one observation of trying to educate people regarding that.
Can you expand on that just a little bit more, just so I have a better explanation when residents and neighbors and all that ask me? So when we have to take this to the tub grinder, if it's too much stock-based material, it degrades the value of what is being ground down,
it
and then it's harder for us to get rid of it, or what?
Yeah. And they may reject it.
They, meaning the...
Even the
contractor,
that's grinding it,
mm-hmm.
if he's seeing a lot of stocky material in there, he'll say, you're going to have to get rid of this yourself, because it's something that cannot be used for...
And then what do we
do boilers.
Normally with stocking material then? What do we
well,
do?
Well, we've been trying to keep it separate, and then it gets hauled away.
We haul it
with grass clippings and other yard waste that gets dropped off down at LeBron.
We take it to Dan and Jansen, and it's disposed of there. They use it as fill.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So there are three categories of materials
still? Right, no. Okay. We have yard waste and brush.
Okay, yep.
And stocky plant materials included under the definition of brush. We haven't, to my knowledge, we haven't seen enough of it, but we're going to continue to monitor and make sure that the quality of the grindings meets the requirement of those that burn it in the boilers. So,
We want some pictures of stocking material. I'd be happy to help.
All right.
Well, it almost sounds easier. This is what yard waste is. Anything else?
Yeah.
Brush. You know, this is... Because yard waste is what? Leaves? Grass?
Well, yeah, but...
Thatching, leaves.
Hostas.
Yeah.
Plants.
Plants.
Like grass.
Yep.
Anything else is going to be...
Brush.
Yeah.
Here's where, though, from a horticulture's perspective, that's an herbaceous plant. It dies down to the ground in the wintertime. It's not a woody plant. It's that stuff in the middle. I'll bring you a couple. I'll share them out.
Sweet.
So if there are no other questions, a motion recommending village approval of the waste management code revisions is needed.
And it was just that, and then bulk waste was the only other one through there.
Is there going to be a lot of kickback with the electronics we've never taken? Sorry, the grills and all that. Have we had a major issue in the past?
No, we did take electronics at LeBron, but people weren't paying in the box, and there's so many places they can get rid of them. So it was costing our taxpayers more instead of individuals asked to put
20 bucks in.
And there are so many other locations you can bring it nearby.
We're
off the Brown County site, right?
Brown County Hazardous Waste Facility takes electronics, which is just across the river. There are some DNR approved recyclers. There's
another one just in De Pere on the south side of our village.
Okay.
All right. Is there a second?
Someone made a motion.
I thought we had a motion.
So moved.
I imagined it. Thank you. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
LeBron Yard Waste Site Improvements, and we'll take them all together so they make sense to go all together.
And this is just discussion. We've reviewed the improvements that will be made next year. We've discussed already and gotten approval through the budgeting process. But I want to bring up a map of the yard waste site.
So I'm sorry, are we going to re-summarize the improvements? Or
yeah, we will. I'd like to bring up the map, but
it's not cooperating.
No.
Just thinking about it.
But here's a topo of the village's yard waste site. We had last summer, we had hired Robert E. Lee to go and do a topo of the property. The topo included with the topo are DNR mapped wetland areas, and those would be this area, the areas here and over here. This would be LeBron Road, the residential yard waste site, and the village yard. New in 2020, the yard waste site will be open 24/7. Brad and Chris have currently purchased some cameras. And those are being installed?
They're on.
Oh, wow. Great.
Was that always the plan for cameras? Or have we had issues that made us decide to go camera?
It's in the event you get someone dropping.
Right. Yeah. But do we always intend to put cameras there when we were going to go 24/7?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know if we had events already.
It's been well received, and people are doing a nice job with it.
Is there a data connection there, or are the cameras just local?
It's local, because we can't hide the hotspot and stuff,
Next year, the site will not be, the yardway site will not be staffed. Again, we'll be open 24/7. It'll be monitored by cameras.
The gentlemen that were there, were they repurposed or just not back on, or with a different role, or
looking to see if either one of them want to work in the parks, because we
have
a street
works.
Department. Yeah,
that was probably only 10 hours a week, though, wasn't it?
It would be just seasonal summer help opportunity. We've already talked about the elimination of electronics and appliances. Those were dropped off in this area here. That will be eliminated. Have been in discussions with De Pere and City of De Pere and Town of Ledgeview. Putting together a conceptual plan and a cost estimate, there's been discussion about making this possibly a regional site. And our residential yard waste site would be larger. It would to facilitate the three of us. We would need about a 2-acre drop-off site and a 2-acre area in the back for storage. And the three communities would share in the expense.
How many acres is that site then?
Ah, good question. I know that this area
7.
Oh, it's bigger than that.
9.
I think it's closer to, I want to say 20, but could be wrong. I know this area right here is 6, and some of it is an unusable space, undevelopable property because mm-hmm. of the wetland area. But we do have room to expand, to add areas that are lost due to that. That possibility of a regional site.
Those areas would have public access, because that's
and
that's going to get real tight real fast if we're adding two more municipalities into.
This would get a lot bigger. So the yard waste site would probably occupy all this space up here, the drop off area, and then the area in the back would be for storage, to stockpile material before it's hauled away. Or chip, if it's brushed, chipped. The areas that the village would lose that we currently use, the space that we currently use over here for stockpiling, we would develop other areas currently not developed out here. We'd add space in other locations to store that material. There's been discussion. There will be a lot of upfront cost. But the other communities understand that, and with the long-term agreement, there's some willingness for them to take that cost to as part of the deal. That might be their that may be their main responsibility, plus the assistance down at the site on a yearly basis to maintain it.
That's where I get a little confused, because if we're gonna have, let's call it 3 times the volume, which I think is actually conservative. If we have Ledgeview and
De
Pere, absolutely more. And we're splitting that then 3 ways, let's say, well, we still have 3 times the volume, so we're still paying probably about the same amount, yet we've got a more congested area that we've opened up to other. I'm confused. So I guess I'm confused. Yep. Dave Blunt, what do we get out of that?
What do we get? We would get an improved site. They understand that it would cost them money to go somewhere else to purchase the property and develop it and to make it so they could use it as a yard waste site. We're in the conceptual stage of this that we've talked about it, and obviously this is going to come back through committee with cost information, but. There appears to be a willingness on their end to pay for that upfront cost. New gates, new fence, grading, gravel, possibly asphalt, cameras. It could be upwards of $200,000.
Mm-hmm. And it would be a better user experience for everyone.
Everybody, everybody, and. I know we have people from De Pere currently going to our yardway site.
We do.
And the city of De Pere would still operate 2 sites, one on the east side, one on the west side. Town of Ledgeview, how many residents live in the town of Ledgeview?
8,000. Well, they're building way more.
And they're building more?
They are, yeah. And right now, at least most Ledgeview residents I know use De Pere's east facility.
Mm-hmm. So we would share in the staffing of this after we had an agreement in place after the improvements been, have been made, we would then share in the maintenance of this, the hauling of whatever it might be, yard waste.
Grinding brush.
The grinding of brush. We would share in all of those services, and there would be an economy of scale because of the amount of.
Sorry to the pun, but actually I'm not pretty proud of that pun. We'd be using our equipment, though, or would the peer
group
be bringing over their front loaders when it's their turn and then Ledger?
Yes. Ledger doesn't have, they don't have a lot of staff, a lot of equipment. It would be it's likely that they would just write us or prepare a check.
It's worth exploring a little bit, but there are concerns.
Okay.
And we talked about that too. Is, all right, how would you you figure on the east side, what is that population? And is that going to incorporate some other communities on the east side of the Fox River?
Yeah.
It's quite possible.
Because
we know we have residents that were taking their stuff to Green Bay.
Absolutely.
And to Bellevue.
Green Bay.
Yeah, I think once we are 24/7, we could be getting anything anyways.
And I would agree that, you know, what we have now operates well, and it's fairly inexpensive. But we're always trying to explore ways to collaborate with other communities to save costs, save on staffing. So if it makes sense, it has to make sense.
Yep.
So we're going to look into it further. We're going to, I know that the period indicated that they're willing to pick up the cost of this topo. It's already done, but
to me that just seems.
Yeah.
It'll be a discussion for a different time.
Yeah, we'll lay out all the
anybody
costs.
Anybody that gets access to this land and that kind of ability to dump 24/7 is getting a heck of a deal, to be truthful.
In DePere and Ledgeview, don't have pickup like we do. So, I mean, that's the other thing we have to factor in, is those municipalities have a very different schedule to none for picking up brush or
garbage. That's a good point. DePere wouldn't be hauling anything to the city. It would be just whatever's brought by the resident, but that's a good point. They don't provide the same services, so they would be bringing more material to the site. The resident would be.
The win for Alloway would be if the two communities, the other two communities, split all the cost of operations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still thinking even that would not be enough to justify it, truly. If you're talking about bringing in three or four times as many people and the traffic and the frustration, it's not maintained, and then it's full, and then your alley residents can't dump when they were expected to be able to dump their waste.
It's going to be a lot larger site. Would you occupy some of our space, space that we would lose. DePere has indicated that, when we look at what it will cost to improve this site, obviously we're going to have to build other areas that we can, where we can store material, and that would be included in that cost. So it's.
Do DePere and Ledgeview have 24/7, 365 sites right now?
DePere, I think, is Dusk to Dawn or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I assume those sites, if this were ever go through, would open up the Alloway residents in too, right? It's not like they can use ours, but we can't use theirs. I would assume.
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah. Ledgeview would have when they would use this site. Or, they would, a village resident would have to go across the river to use their site. But, yeah,
it would have to be one heck of a deal, in my opinion.
Well, we
long term.
It would be a lot, it'd have to be a long term deal,
You want to be an extensive agreement drawn up.
Yes.
With all the details. Well, so until those discussions start.
Right, right now it's just discussion, and we're going to look at, roughly speaking, what would be that improvement cost? Who would be responsible for the upfront improvement? How would we split the operation of this regional site, the cost to run this regional site?
Cool. Never heard to talk about
Arbor Lane and Stanton Court.
So we have received the state municipal agreement for the LRIP funds, Local Road Improvement Program funding. We had received funding for the rehabilitation of Staten Court from the cul-de-sac to Arbor Lane, and Arbor Lane from Staten to Rosemont Drive. This is just an update. The village will receive just under $52,000 to help with the rehabilitation of those two streets.
That'll be for next year, right?
Yep.
St. Joseph's Reconstruction Summary.
So I did my best to summarize the changes in scope that have been made to St. Joseph Street. And we can quickly run through those. I provided a spreadsheet with various committee and village board approvals. So on the 18th, there was an action item brought to the Public Works Committee to update the CIP plan on the 18th, there was just an update to the plan. At that time, St. Joseph Street was listed as a street maintenance project at an estimated cost of $400,000. Later that year, March 18th, there was an item Public Works Committee meeting. Approval to proceed with the West St. Joseph Street project, engineering work for reconstruction of St. Joseph Street in 2019 was approved. So at that point, the street scope was changed. It's my understanding it was changed from a maintenance project to a reconstruction project. And a recommendation to the village board to proceed with engineering was approved on the 18th. Okay, and then later that month it was brought to the village board. The village board had approved moving ahead with the engineering for the reconstruction of the street. On the 18th of November, there was an item on the Public Works Committee to proceed with the reconstruction of St. Joseph Street. And again in December, the village board approved the reconstruction of St. Joseph Street.
So that the dates must be January of 2018.
Yeah, and then here.
Then again in December, we had discussed the typical section for the roadway. We had reviewed whether or not sidewalks should be on both sides. The street should be narrow and its bike accommodations should be added. And then that went to the village board on the night this year, January of this year. It came back and we had approved the finished typical section for the roadway. And then later in January, village approved the finished roadway typical section.
Sorry if I missed it. So why are we going over this?
There was a request made to review the changes that were made to the project scope.
Oh, just the timeline of it? Yeah. Just a summary? Okay.
The question was why the changes were made, why, and if it had anything to do with the TID project at Old Chapel Hill.
No.
The question was, was there a reason for the change to go to reconstruction instead of resurfacing?
Aren't utilities done?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have to, wouldn't you?
The profile of the road changed. Sidewalks were added.
Well, it was narrowed.
With adding, replacing utilities, don't you have to do a reconstruction?
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah, most of the time, yes.
Otherwise, you end up with what we had on some other streets.
Not only, but most of the time, yes.
All right, Riverside Drive crossings.
So we met with the DOT today. I'm going to bring up.
Is it still 1.6 million?
Yeah.
1.7 million?
Well.
Because I couldn't believe it was that much still in here.
Well, that was their estimate before, wasn't it?
It was.
And we had reviewed that at a previous Public Works Committee meeting. They had provided us a cost estimate for the improvement. If the traffic volumes warranted traffic signals, their preferred improvement included the widening of Riverside at St. Joseph Street to include a median and left turn lane. And that would have required that would require right of way acquisition, relocation of utilities. That's a bigger project, and they had come up with a conceptual cost of $1.7 million. And then through discussion of that item at this committee, it was asked, well, can we install traffic signals as is under the existing conditions? And the answer to that would be only if the traffic warranted traffic signals. And in 2015, when the DOT was designing for the reconstruction of Riverside Drive, they had done a traffic analysis of all of the side roads, and that included Alloway Avenue and that included St. Joseph Street. And when they did that analysis, the traffic volumes came up well short of what would be required to warrant traffic signals here. And there hasn't been a lot of growth. And to have them go through a study right now would be somewhat of a waste of time, because we haven't added enough development to generate enough traffic to warrant it. On top of that, they do have a lot of concern. And if I can get this to go. Yeah. Here we go. Let's say that development occurred, and because of that traffic, the volumes met the warrants for a traffic signal. They would still have a lot of concern with the location of these current driveways. And with this current driveway here, that would likely have to be closed and relocated. The driveways over here, some of which may have to be closed or combined. So they have some major reservation with traffic signals here right now. They have indicated though that when they did the traffic analysis, that Alloway Avenue and Riverside Drive, that at the time that the traffic volumes warranted signals here, and that was being incorporated into the reconstruction plans, but then that project was indefinitely put on hold. They indicated that they would be willing to install traffic signals here under the current conditions with some slight improvements. The installation of the traffic signals here would cost roughly $150,000, and then the other improvements would be another $100,000 to $150,000. You're looking at, roughly speaking, and this is just a rough estimate, but $300,000 to improve that intersection so that you could install traffic signals.
Compared to 1.6?
1.7.
Yeah.
But
1.7, if we can go back to that, but that was, and I can show you an exhibit, that was a bigger footprint, because they had to widen what they were proposing.
Oh, that was before.
That was before, real estate.
600,000.
500,000.
580, right. Or 590,
yeah.
On the real estate alone.
And again, it was just that's a conceptual rough cost estimate. But they indicated that under the current conditions, with some improvements, traffic signals could possibly be placed at Alloway Avenue. There would be the need to close some of these driveways. They wouldn't allow a driveway within the intersection. That would be this driveway here, likely here. The issue here is we don't have a good connection to the Fox River Trail.
Well, it's no better or worse than the other one. I mean, I kind of like that connection better than that other one. But they're both private property, correct?
We would we'd have to get an easement or acquire property to connect.
And the people who want to build up north are giving us an easement.
Are what?
Oh, giving us an easement.
They are.
Yeah.
So the topography would allow for that? Would there have to be some...
It would be a challenge in both locations.
There's next to no location. It's not going to be a challenge until we get under, what, the 172 bridge. It's not the only place that's flat enough to go through. Lazar and South, right?
Well, we've got one at 172, and then we have one at the northern border.
One at Marine.
So then we need one in the middle of those two.
Nice to have one in here somewhere, right?
And then informally, people are using the drives, the parking lots, the... They're all being utilized.
We have met with a number of stakeholders along Riverside Drive, most of which have been real supportive.
Bringing people to them.
It's just, where do we cross? It's ideally, it would be nice to add a signalized intersection, but it, you know, finding out that as of right now, traffic volumes don't work that at St. Joseph Street. Maybe in the future, as this develops, they're not, you know, they wouldn't allow for this driveway here. They suggested, you know, if you do have a lot of development, if there's enough that could possibly warrant traffic signals, that this should be a public roadway, a public leg to this intersection. Ideally, that would be a public roadway.
But it couldn't really go straight because it's so steep.
We have looked at it preliminarily. I've looked at it and come up with a rough cost. It's doable.
Oh, yeah.
But then you'd have to work with all of these...
Right.
You have to work with all of those developments to somehow coordinate a shared driveway along the west side of their property.
Or the other intersection option, maybe we can convince the pier and Wedgeview to buy that Mariner from us and use that as the annex site, and then bam, you're done. You're all set, right?
That's a possibility.
Let's talk it up.
We've looked at going north from St. Joseph Street along the east side up to St. Francis Park with a crossing here.
People are going to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
So what is their... What did they say in the meeting today?
That they were really, really helpful. Basically, what I've just said is,
they haven't changed their mind.
They have not, no.
But they still.
They really haven't. I really don't know that they've really changed their position. You know, the future resurfacing project, they did not include traffic signals and they don't typically do on a resurfacing project. So,
we can give them an opportunity, and we can ask them. Okay, we're trying to come up with solutions, none of which you like. How can you provide safe crossing for our residents to get across Riverside Drive? Because as governmental entities, we have a responsibility to provide safe crossing. So what is your recommendation for that?
You know, their recommendation may be, you know...
Alloway
Avenue, yeah. Signalize this intersection and obtain an easement possibly down to, or right away, mm-hmm. down to the Fox River Trail.
And is that something that they would approve?
They had indicated that in 2015 that the traffic volumes had warranted traffic signals. If the village is willing to pick up that expense, that improvement, the expense of that improvement, I believe that they would permit it.
Would that be about $300,000?
That's ballpark number. I would say anywhere between $250,000 and $500,000.
But then you still have to deal with the Mariner current Mariner, which again is actually for sale, correct?
Yeah.
The access to that, that would all have to be changed, or
we'd have to purchase property from them.
And then are you looking at sidewalks on, adding a sidewalk on
Riverside Drive?
Riverside Drive, all the way to St. Joseph Street.
Between the two on the east side?
Yeah.
We talked about that today.
Are they adding boulevards and keeping a left turn lane for Alloway Avenue?
That current configuration would change. There might be some slight improvements to that.
I mean, would it be like similar to this?
No. Traffic signals for the most part would be installed under the existing condition as is right there.
Mm.
With changes to driveway access.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some other slight improvements needed. It was a real good meeting. They've been extremely helpful. Andy came here when we initially talked about this. He came and if we want to continue to pursue signals, and it would have to be here at Alloway Avenue, we can continue to work with the DOT to develop that.
They won't do a hot crossing at an intersection?
No. For safety reasons, they're reluctant to do that. We brought that up again.
I wonder if there's a good grant opportunity for that kind of project.
A tap grant.
I mean, they're always out there everywhere.
Grant,
but
yeah.
How much time do you want to put into something for what return?
Providing recreation, access to recreation to the trail.
We had to discuss this with the county just in concept. You know, we had no idea where this connection would be. And we talked about the TET program that will come out this year or early next year. Unfortunately, it's not funded to support a construction project. There's enough money to possibly support it, to help with the design, the planning for a project.
Several years ago when we started talking about this stuff, some people brought up the idea of a tunnel or a bridge.
We talked about that today. Bridge. The bridge would be a challenge because of the change in grade.
Same with the tunnel, huh?
The tunnel, yeah. The site is, this property is somewhat, the topography somewhat suits it well on the west side.
Just come out, yeah.
Then you just come out, but on the east side, you'd where do you come out?
Does it have to be like stairs or an elevator or something?
It has to be
a ramp back up.
Two stairs.
Well, it has to be ADA.
Accessible. You'd have a ramp and.
You almost have to go north south with the ramp.
Yeah. Come on,
like
go
back
right
and forth. You need areas of refuge and then.
Switch back. Right. The other
challenge. What did they say about that?
Expensive. Extremely expensive.
But they would allow it.
We were just throwing a whole bunch of different things out. Mm-hmm. I don't know that if we were willing to pay for it, if it was constructible. You know, the other challenge you have is we do have utilities underneath Riverside Drive.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly deep, water and sanitary sewer, probably to a depth of 10 feet. So there's a significant grade difference. But can you get underneath the utilities, get back up? But we talked about it. Talked about a bridge. The problem with the bridge is the grade difference on the west side. It would take forever to come back down.
Yeah.
It's been done, though. It just adds expense, right?
Yeah, you'd have a spiral, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it does get used.
Right. People are just going to say, how the heck of that? I'm just going to cross.
I just want to cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was just for discussion. Update you guys on what we learned today, this afternoon from DOT.
Good.
No easy solutions.
There is no easy solution here.
Well, it sounds pretty easy at the end of Alloway.
Yeah.
By 3 to 5.
path of least resistance, and then the one north of that is Marine Street, where you can get across with access. But informally, all of those businesses are used by people.
Yeah.
I struggle with how the end of Alley would be 3 to 5 if we're still talking about reconfiguring that entire entrance for whatever business is going to buy Galley 57.
The Mariner.
Well, there's no right-of-way acquisition, and there's no boulevards, and...
But right now they have, that's how you access that business.
Right here.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one.
There's a driveway
on
here.
On the other side.
And there's one.
Right, but that's too far, is that not? I thought they said that would be too close with what you were
saying. This one right here?
Well, that one and then the other one.
This would be closed. You know, they would have to allow access somewhere. I believe the curb stops here, and then this is a raised median. I don't know what is currently permitted here. Right in, right out, only. Right in, right out, only. Here, this drive would have. No left turn into. This would be closed. I guess it would somewhat limit access into this property, but there are options available.
Whoever's going to buy that is going to level it all anyway.
And I guess that's part of why I'm bringing this up. If there's somebody that's looking, I mean,
are those two the same property? Those two buildings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when the proposal was for the condo units going in, we did talk with them about an easement.
Hmm.
So that was being planned, but that's gone.
Do we have any idea roughly what they're asking for that property right now?
1.5, I believe.
For both buildings?
Yep.
There's no grants or anything for us to go after to turn that into a park or green space or something else for community?
Be tough.
Find a big donor.
And the businesses on each side have no plans of expansion or no need for expansion these days. I mean, you don't see much of that anymore.
Keep plugging along and try to figure something out.
Right. Sounds like a
keep it up.
Good
thank you.
All right, do we have a motion to adjourn?
You do.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank
you very much.
And just for your information, if anybody's interested in the Southside Bridge project, their meeting starts right now at the Altmeyer School in De Pere on Ryan Road and goes to 8:30 tonight.